environmental cleaning in the LTC facility. There is excellent evidence that the level of contamination of the healthcare environment plays an important role in the transmission of several healthcare-associated pathogens, including MRSA, VRE, norovirus, and C. difficile. Contaminated surfaces and resident rooms can act as reservoirs for these pathogens, which can persist in the environment for days or longer. These pathogens may then be transferred to the hands of HCP and then from them throughout the healthcare facility, potentially leading to outbreaks. Environmental cleaning and disinfection are integral to an LTC facility's IPCP. The IP serves as an important resource for EVS staff, providing appropriate tools, training, education, and audits to monitor and maintain IPC practices. Environmental cleaning is typically divided into two categories based on how frequently residents and staff touch or interact with items and surfaces. High-touch surfaces/items. These require frequent cleaning due to the higher risk of contamination because they are frequently touched, including by potentially colonized or actually infected persons, for example, handrails, light switches, doorknobs, and overbed tables. Other surfaces/items. All other surfaces and items require less frequent cleaning, as they pose a lower risk of being a source of infection or transmission. However, it is important to note that, though they need to be cleaned less frequently, this does not mean that cleaning and disinfecting these surfaces and items should be taken any less seriously. Policies, procedures, and schedules. The CDC's Guidelines for Disinfection and Sterilization in Healthcare identifies environmental cleaning as an essential component of any effective, multi-barrier strategy to prevent HAIs. The development of facility cleaning and disinfection procedures is, therefore, an important requirement. The IP is responsible for ensuring that all plans and procedures remain up to date and correct, based on any new information and recommendations published by local, state, and federal agencies. The cleaning and disinfecting plans and procedures should contain cleaning schedules, routine and special situation, staff allocation and responsibility for different cleaning or disinfection tasks, approved cleaning and disinfecting products, product uses, when, how, disposal requirements, product safety data sheets, product storage, cleaning equipment requirements, when, how, storage, EVS staff, PPE requirements. Routine trash removal schedules. Cleaning schedules should include routine cleaning of environmental surfaces and non-medical/healthcare equipment and items within the LTC facility. These schedules should be clearly defined and explained for all staff members. Typically, cleaning procedures begin in the least soiled areas and progress to the most soiled ones, patient zones, and from high-touch surfaces/items to low-touch ones. It is essential that cleaning routines and processes are consistent and thorough. Routine cleaning schedules and procedures should cover terminal cleaning procedures, common areas, glass and windows, carpet vacuuming, daily and as needed, mattresses and other soft surfaces maintenance, floor cleaning and buffing, maintenance of the EVS cart, hard surfaces, as needed when spills or soiling occurs, cleaning of walls and blinds, especially if visibly soiled. Additional schedules and procedures should be outlined for hazardous and non-hazardous spills, cleaning in isolation rooms, disposal of biohazard containers, including steps to take if sharps are discovered in the regular trash. Some viruses and spore-forming organisms are resistant to traditional disinfectants, for example C. difficile and norovirus. EVS staff should ensure that the disinfectant being used in these rooms has a label claim for activity against the organism and that all IFU are correctly followed, including the use of PPE. Cleaning equipment. EVS staff should always use clean equipment and supplies, example, mops, water, brushes, and cleaning cloths, when cleaning or disinfecting. The CDC's Guideline for Disinfection and Sterilization in Healthcare Facilities includes recommendations for handling, maintaining, and cleaning equipment and supplies. It notes that wet mops and cleaning cloths can become heavily contaminated by microorganisms. When the item is used, this contamination can be passed on to surfaces, staff, and residents. Therefore, reusable cloths and mops must be decontaminated regularly. The CDC's guidelines recommend that cleaning cloths, including mop heads, should be treated using detergent, followed by a 2-hour drying cycle at 80 degrees Celsius, 176 degrees Fahrenheit to eliminate contamination. The guidelines also recommend alternative cleaning methods depending on what the cloths and mops were used with. If the LTC facility uses petroleum-based products, for example, high heat methods of cleaning might pose a fire risk. Submerging cloths and mop heads in hypochlorite for a short period, approximately 2 minutes, has been shown to be effective at removing any remaining microorganisms. An additional consideration relates to cleaning and the impact of dust. Dust can contain fungal spores, such as Aspergillus, which may cause fatal infections, especially in immunosuppressed individuals. EVS personnel should try to minimize disruption when cleaning, as it can result in turbulence that can scatter dust far afield. When dusting, vacuuming, or waxing and buffing floors, EVS staff should partner with nursing staff to ensure that at-risk residents are relocated or protect using some sort of barrier. Wet dusting horizontal surfaces can reduce the risk of spreading dust. This is done with a clean cloth moistened with a small amount of an EPA-registered detergent/disinfectant. Microfiber cloth is increasingly becoming the preferred material for cleaning activities in healthcare settings and elsewhere. The nature of this material attracts dust, and it may be more absorbent than many other materials, for example, cotton. Microfiber cloths can be wet with disinfectants, including quaternary ammonium compounds. Despite their recognized benefits in dusting and cleaning, a new, fresh microfiber cloth or mop head should be used in each room. High-touch surfaces. High-touch surfaces and items are found within the patient zone, which includes the resident and their immediate surroundings. In LTC settings, this would refer specifically to the residents' rooms, but may also refer to certain common areas. In a resident's room, the zone would include the resident, their bed, and the surrounding high-touch surfaces. Due to the high level of contact residents can have with their personal living spaces, a patient zone can quickly become contaminated by any pathogen or microorganism with which the resident is colonized or infected. It is imperative, therefore, that a resident's room be properly cleaned to avoid any contaminated surfaces becoming reservoirs for microorganisms that could be transmitted to the next individual occupying or contacting that zone. The CDC, in Cleaning and Disinfecting Your Facility, guidance issued during the COVID-19 pandemic, has identified the following examples of high-touch surfaces: counters, carts, tables, desks, and nightstands, handles, doors, drawer, cupboard, light switches, stair rails, elevator buttons, pens, keyboards, phones, mobile or otherwise, toilets, sinks, faucets. Other common high-touch surfaces that may be found in healthcare settings include TV and other remote controls. Mobility equipment, example, grips, armrests, handles for wheelchairs, walkers. Key point, compliance with both hand hygiene and environmental cleaning practices and policies is the only way to ensure a safe care environment for residents, staff, and visitors at a healthcare facility. Despite the amount of contact they receive, floors, walls, lights, and ventilation grills are not considered high-touch surfaces and they usually need less frequent cleaning. Facility plans should include routine cleaning schedules for these surfaces. These schedules should include procedures for identifying effective cleaning agents. As with medical and other equipment used by staff and residents, all surfaces should be cleaned immediately if visibly soiled. Cleaning and disinfecting products are not necessarily interchangeable, and EVS staff are likely to use different products from those that are used to clean and disinfect resident care equipment and instruments. The IP should check all facility cleaning policies to ensure that appropriate cleaning agents are being used correctly, per EPA regulations and IFU. Textiles, carpeting, and cloth furnishings. The cleaning of textiles is an essential part of environmental cleaning in healthcare facilities, but one that can present extra challenges. Facility plans should include routine cleaning schedules for textiles such as carpeting and cloth furnishings. These schedules should include procedures for identifying effective cleaning agents. The CDC's guidelines recommend cleaning with a product containing soap, detergent, or other type of cleaner that is EPA registered and approved for use on soft surfaces. Items should be laundered according to manufacturer's instructions. Thus, selecting carpets and cloth furnishings that are readily cleanable using available cleaners is important. All laundry should be considered contaminated. And all staff, therefore, who handle laundry should follow SP, including the appropriate use of PPE, the CDC recommends tear-resistant, reusable rubber gloves whenever handling or laundering soiled linens. In addition, the CDC notes that gowns or aprons and face protection, goggles or face shields, should be worn if there is risk of splashing when laundry is washed by hand, for example. For this reason, the IP should ensure that on-site laundry staff have access to appropriate PPE and that they perform proper HH after handling all dirty laundry. Hampers for clean and dirty clothes should be kept separate and clearly marked to avoid cross-contamination. Electronics. Electronics have become ubiquitous in healthcare as well as in our daily lives. Therefore, staff must also implement cleaning procedures for the variety of different electronic devices that will be found in the LTC facility. Electronics will be found throughout the facility, from common areas, administrative areas, and resident rooms. Electronics should be cleaned using an EPA-registered product. Personal electronics, such as cell phones and tablets, should be cleaned and disinfected when possible. Touch screens, in particular, should be cleaned regularly, especially when visibly soiled. The CDC's guideline for disinfection and sterilization in healthcare facilities suggests that, for high-touch electronics, facilities should consider wipeable covers because they can make cleaning and disinfecting easier, especially keyboards. As with all devices and equipment in the LTC facility, staff engaged in cleaning and disinfecting electronics must follow the manufacturer's IFU as well as any recommendations for cleaning and disinfecting, so that the electronics are not damaged or their warranties voided. Environmental cleaning evaluation. The EVS department is responsible for ensuring that staff are provided quality cleaning and disinfecting products in the healthcare facility. The IP, however, is responsible for evaluating the cleaning and disinfection policies, procedures, and practices. As with other kinds of process surveillance, the evaluation of staff performance and compliance with cleaning and disinfection policies and procedures is best conducted through direct and indirect observation. Environmental rounds and regular visual inspections can detect obvious problems, but are insufficient to ensure the removal of potential pathogens. Therefore, the use of environmental monitoring systems should be incorporated into quality improvement programs. Key components of the evaluation and quality improvement processes include checklists and other audit tools. Checklists can be incorporated into any round the IP and their team perform to observe cleaning and disinfection processes. Collaboration. To encourage a sense of shared responsibility, EVS should be included in the evaluation process, including in the evaluation of the use of tools. Feedback. Providing timely feedback to EVS staff increases motivation and engagement, which in turn results in performance improvements. A daily cleaning checklist like the one shown in Exhibit 5-21 can be used by Environmental Services staff to record the cleaning process and method for each room. Exhibit 5-21. Environmental Services Checklist for Daily Cleaning. The following elements should be directly observed and noted by a third party during an evaluation audit. Supplies necessary for appropriate cleaning and disinfection procedures. Example, EPA-registered disinfectants are available. High-touch surfaces in rooms in which surgical or other invasive procedures, example, endoscopy, spinal injections, are performed or cleaned and then disinfected with an EPA-registered disinfectant after each procedure. Cleaners and disinfectants are used in accordance with manufacturer's instructions. Example, dilution, storage, shelf life, contact time. HCP engaged in environmental cleaning where appropriate PPE to prevent exposure to infectious agents or chemicals. PPE can include gloves, gowns, masks, and eye protection. Ensure that new equipment is properly reflected in cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization policies, and that HCP have received appropriate training and information per manufacturer's recommendations. The IP might also use resident satisfaction surveys, which can encourage resident participation and are cost-effective. They can also incorporate feedback from visitors or other staff members. However, this method will not necessarily collect information about disinfection, as these processes may not be obvious to those surveyed. Audit tools and checklists. Checklists and audits are used to guide and assess infection prevention practices for a healthcare facility. They can be used by individuals when assessing staff practices and can also be used by facility staff themselves to help guide their practices. A checklist is a performance tool that lists a series of steps to help standardize a process for individuals conducting the process. Easily constructed using a word processor or a spreadsheet application, checklists can be updated or changed to reflect the specific processes performed in the facility. An audit is a monitoring tool used by a third party to validate a process. Information gathered using an audit can show if additional training might be needed. Environmental monitoring. The three approaches to environmental monitoring that an IP might use are cultures, adenosine triphosphate, ATP, bioluminescence assays, fluorescent marking. The collection of environmental cultures using a swab or agar slide technique is a method best suited to outbreak investigations when environmental reservoirs or fomites are epidemiologically implicated in disease transmission. It is conducted in collaboration with public health authorities and is not recommended for routine monitoring. The benefits of performing surveillance cultures must be weighed against the resources required, time, cost, etc. ATP bioluminescence assays can be used after a special environmental surface swab has been obtained. Using a handheld illuminometer, the IP or other trained team member can highlight and measure residual organic debris. Unlike culturing, this process does not identify specific pathogens or report a colony count, and so it may not be as valuable as obtaining and analyzing environmental cultures. ATP methods can be used to assess the efficacy of cleaning devices. Fluorescent marking systems. The use of fluorescent marking systems was first used to assess compliance with HH standards, but it has since become an often used tool for assessing wider cleaning and disinfecting activities. Using a fluorescent marking system, the IP and their team can assess EVS staff compliance. In this approach, surfaces, often high touch, are marked prior to cleaning with a special fluorescent gel that is transparent when it dries. This gel should be applied based on the manufacturer's IFU. Different brands may have different specific instructions related to amount, etc. And then, once staff have completed the cleaning and disinfection processes, a black light is used to detect whether the gel has been removed. If the fluorescent mark is still visible under UV light, then the surface must be recleaned. This method is easy to use, inexpensive, and reliable. It also can provide immediate feedback on cleaning processes. It is, therefore, most useful for monitoring routine cleaning and disinfection. A number of studies have shown that application of fluorescent gels without the knowledge of cleaning staff provide excellent educational opportunities. Gillespie, 2012, Churiali et al., 2015. If this evaluation technique is adopted by the LTC facility, then, for best results, a regular review process should be instituted, monthly, for example, in order to assess performance improvement and, if necessary, adjust practices and protocols to identify any gaps or non-compliance with cleaning requirements. Elizabeth Gillespie, 2012, has identified key areas that could be examined using this technique, including general room features, light switches, door handles, furniture, bedside tables, shelves, drawers, non-fabric chair armrests, non-fabric bed surfaces, bed rails, bed frame, bathroom, toilet flush button slash level, sink taps, shower slash bath taps. Technology, computer keyboards, monitor buttons, TV remote, nurse call bell, resident handrails, bed elevator,